Good morning. I hope everyone had a great weekend. Good morning. I hope everyone had a great weekend. And welcome to Live with MJ, where I have the pleasure to interview some of the greatest names in sports, entertainment, and philanthropy. For those of you who are first-time listeners, my name is MJ Padone. I am the president and founder of Inter Public Relations, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Gina Mason. Hello, Gina.
Hello, MJ. How are you?
I am fantastic. How was your weekend?
It was great. I was enjoying the sun a little bit. How's yours?
It was wonderful. Back to work, and I'm actually very excited today since we have a very special guest, Charles A. Archer. Charles is the author of Everybody Paddles, and he is a lawyer, speaker, professor, entrepreneur, and the CEO and co-founder of the Thrive Network. Charles is very passionate about assisting, inspiring, and uplifting everyone he can, especially the disadvantaged. He's currently fulfilling this mission as Chief Executive Officer of the Thrive Network to serve the community and those in need. He's the former Kings County Assistant District Attorney, obtained his Master's of Public Administration from Brewer College, and in 2006 he joined the faculty there, serving as an adjunct professor in the School of Public Affairs. In 2011, he became a Cuba Research Delegate with the American Association on Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities, for which he also lectured. Charles, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Gina, and good morning, MJ. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so excited to have you on today. Thank you. How was your weekend?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
I said, how was your weekend?
My weekend was amazing. I had the opportunity to spend it with some friends and able to just kind of relax and kind of get refreshed to start the work week off pretty positive.
Oh, that's wonderful. Great to hear. So, of course, we have to jump right in here and talk about your biggest passion. And as we all know, that is philanthropy. So can you tell us, how did you first get involved with the nonprofit industry?
You know, it's one of those things that's interesting. For me, everything has like a full circle effect as far as how life happens. But it all started when I needed a job in so many ways. I needed to find some sort of job that would allow me to go to school during the day and work in the evenings. So I started working as a direct support professional about 24 years ago at an organization in Queens. And as I began to do that, I began to have a greater appreciation for my life and my abilities and the things that I was able to, in some ways, be fortunate with. And working with people who do not have some of the same abilities or the same advantages, and to see them excited about life really propelled me to think about what my life's passion would be, what my life missions would be. And it really is about how do we support the disadvantaged or the disenfranchised, and how do we support them both socially and economically.
You know, that's great. It's great because you, I mean, as you know, we're really entrenched in this space, and your passion is something that you portray every day. It's not something that's, you know, every other day or once a week. You are passionate about it every time we speak to you, and every time, you know, something is going on, that's whether it be an event or what you're doing for your consumers. It's just truly, truly amazing. So how are you so inspired on a daily basis? Is it from, like, everything that you just had said, but just to be like that every morning when you get out of bed and just so energetic and inspired to help others? So what are some of your secrets?
There's a couple things, you know. There's one thing that, and MJ and Gina, to be very honest, there are days when I'm not as always inspired and I'm not energetic. I'm human like everyone else. But those days are small and I'm able to be in a space of pretty much like gratitude, this space where I'm so appreciative of the opportunity to affect someone's life every day. At the Thrive Network and all the other things that I'm involved in, we change people's lives every day. If I don't do something, something else doesn't happen. But equally, if I do something, something else happens. So if I could be in a place where I'm contributing and adding some value every single day and the people around me are doing the same thing, I feel no need to live in a place where I'm not energetic or inspired. I really do feel fortunate and blessed to have the opportunity to do the things that I do. And on a personal note, you know, I think how we grow up and our experience through life really depict who we become as adults. In some ways, it changes us. And I remember in some unique ways being considered less than other people or feeling less than other people. And all of my work is really about how do people feel equal regardless of where they are economically, socially, affluently, intellectually, et cetera. Those things are equally important in so many ways, but no one should ever feel less than someone else. And the work that we do at the Thrive Network is about how the disabled, the homeless, the aging, the elderly can fit into the world and not be excluded from it.
You know, that's really so meaningful and so powerful. And I'm sure, excuse me, with the name the Thrive Network, I'm sure that's the word Thrive.
I am so excited about that.
I know. We are as well. And you know, just the whole powerful name and the significance behind it, is that why, again, everything that you just mentioned, is that how you came to choose the name Thrive?
We're celebrating our 20-year anniversary in service delivery in the next 12 months. And we really looked at who we were for the first 20 years. And all of the challenges and successes and the things that really shifted in our field. And all of those things made us who we are today and are really great and perfect in their own right. However, the next 20 years require us to think differently. It requires service delivery to be more holistic and comprehensive. It requires more collaboration and partnerships with other people. So when I sat with the board of directors who really led the process for us, really looked at, you know, who do we need to become? What do we want to do, not just for our consumers or clients, but who do we want to do for our staff, for our colleagues, for society, for the public? And it really is Thrive. We really want people to be successful in their own right, up to their own ability, up to their own extension, not to what we want them to do, but how do you do it to the point that they can feel that they're thriving on a daily basis.
Oh, that's great. And I'm sure you've had some mentors along the way. Who are some of those people?
I recently was talking with a friend of mine about this in Maryland. And, you know, I'm a self-motivator. I'm self-inspired and assertive when it comes to doing good and being advanced. But I've had to watch people throughout life who really have taken their position and use it for the good of other people. So obviously you have the likes of Thurgood Marshall. I'm a lawyer. We went to the same university. He's someone who really dedicated himself to social justice and was able to propel and influence in society. I look at, you know, the Ford Foundation and what they do as far as outreach and social change. You know, there is obviously the Oprah Winfrey, who really just has come from a place of struggle to really a place where she actually helped people get through their challenges. I look at a lot of sports figures, Trent Tucker. I look at Ludacris down in Atlanta. I looked at other people and the things that they have done in order to help their communities thrive and be successful in small ways. All of us should do our part. The concept around my book, Everybody Paddles, really winds up transcending not just business but life. We all should contribute. I don't really believe that there should be an inequality in contribution. I believe that everyone should find a way to contribute to their comfort level, to their ability, et cetera, but it does require that we all paddle in order. So I've been inspired by a lot of people I know and people I don't know, that have really helped me become the Charles I am today.
Well, that's great. And you certainly have some great leaders that you have and still look up to. I'm a big fan of everybody who you mentioned, especially Oprah Winfrey, and maybe because it's a female thing, but I love Powerful Woman, and she has done tremendous work and keeps doing tremendous work. So, and I know you're doing the same, Charles, that's for sure.
Yeah. And
I think we really get this opportunity.
I'm talking about Everybody Paddles. Let's just transition really quick. With the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disability Act upon us right now, We know the Thrive Network will be doing something really special to pay it forward. So, Charles, would you mind just letting our listeners know about what's going on this week? We have some very exciting event going on.
This week, the ADA and the significance of the Americans with Disability Act has really transcended, you know, I think what the initial drafters and initial families. You know, when I think about the ADA, you really think about, I think about the Thrive Network and other nonprofit organizations. It started because a group of people who didn't have the means got together and decided that we wanted to see some change. We really wanted to, you know, do something that was going to propel a particular agenda. There was a group of parents and advocates who really were not feeling that their loved ones, their children, their family members were being treated appropriately in society. And that what really propelled the movement towards the ADA. And when we look at currently the significance of the ADA, you can trace it back to the women's movement. You can trace it back to the civil rights movement. You can even currently trace it to the gay rights movement. The importance of us creating energy and movements that really propel an agenda are really significant, and I'm very excited to be working in the field where we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the ADA and all of its significance and all of the things that we need to be doing in order to enhance it and make discrimination in any form not appropriate. So this week on the 24th of July, the Thrive Network will be hosting an art exhibit called Here. We'll be hosting it to really show that our people, our individuals, our friends and family are artistic, are a part of arts and cultures and all of that type of things that go on in society and are really looking at showcasing their abilities, because we concentrate a lot on individuals' disabilities, but our people here are as creative and are exciting. So in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, on starting the 24th of July at 6 p.m., at the Schomburg Theater, we will be hosting this event.
That's great. Yeah, and we'll be sure to, if anyone is looking for that information, we'll post it up on the, after this interview is over, we'll have all the information.
There's another event going on in Schomburg, sorry, Gina, but it's at Shops on the Loom at 1087 Flushing Avenue in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, and we'll, like I said, we'll have all that information up there. We had suggested donation of $20, and just having had the pleasure of being at the Thrive Network and visiting the offices, it's amazing. It's amazing space, and going in and you see all of the artwork from your consumers on the walls. And you know, Charles, I know that you are an avid art collector, and it's going to be a great event. We're really looking forward to it. And actually, hold on one second. We have a caller on here. Hold on one second. Hello, can you hear us?
Hi. Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, who do we have with us?
Hi, this is Michelle. I have a question for Charles. The Thrive Network sounds like just such an amazing organization and, you know, great motives, great goals, great, you know. I was just wondering how I can get involved as an outside party.
The one thing is I can tell you, meet us on Friday at Shops on the Loom. That would be the first way of getting involved. You know, the art exhibit and the events that we do as an organization, we really look at volunteering in a very different format. We have a Sunday Rescue Program where we have volunteers who participate with us, but also we want to make sure that they're trained and understand how to deal with our population. So we do that. You can feel free to look at our website and find ways to connect with us. And then once you come in and we speak, we can kind of figure out what's appropriate for you and what's appropriate for us.
Okay.
Because initiatives that range from helping us get our message out to the public through social media is also equally important to us in volunteer opportunity. Participating on our philanthropic efforts as far as getting the word out is another way that, you know, the volunteer portion of our organization could be supportive. And then equally, if you have a specialty and there's something that you do well within your business or within your life, there's also ways to come in and possibly motivate our staff and possibly talk with our consumers. So those are just a few things where volunteer would be great.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Charles.
You're very welcome.
And Michelle, we'll connect after the show. I have your information that came up here on our dashboard, so we'll be sure to send you all the information. And for
great.
Those of you listening who would like to learn more, you can learn more about the Thrive Network at www.thrivenetwork.org. As well. So let's transition a little bit. Everybody, it's fantastic. Can you share with our readers a little bit of the backstory and the significance of the book?
As I mentioned earlier, co-founded the organization 20 years ago and really looked at how do we support people. Throughout the history or the tenure or the existence of the organization, there's always shifts that occur, not just from the perspective of healthcare and social services, but also from employee culture, et cetera. So I practiced law for about 6 or 7 years after serving the organization to 2001. And in 2007, I had the opportunity to be asked to come back and serve as the chief executive officer. And in doing so, I needed to find a way where I would be able to connect with people, but people would also understand the significance of the collective is more important than the individualism of one person. And that's where Everybody Paddles came about. How can we paddle at the same time in the same direction towards the same goal? When you create a culture that everyone understands what the mission and the vision is, everyone understands what the purpose is and what the outcomes are, everyone understands what quality and compliance and metrics mean, then we can get to a place where everything that we do will be successful because everyone understands that it takes the collective. I had the opportunity to meet with a lot of the staff here at the organization. And, you know, one thing I share with them is that all of our jobs are important. My job is important, their job is important, and no one's job is more important. There are different degrees of responsibility and accountability. There are different degrees of who does what, et cetera. But at the end of the day, as the CEO, my job is equally as important as my direct support professional. And how do they in their job do the best that they can do, and I in my job do the best that I can do? And that's where Everybody Paddles come from. The book became an international bestseller in April, you know, selling around the world because people want something different. The principles from solution to communication to Everybody Matters has really been very successful for the book and all the things around it.
And Charles, where can they purchase the book?
Right now you can get it on Amazon. It's available at Barnes & Noble's. We are available at a Tattered Cover, and a couple of other Hudson News had the book as well. So those are the outlets, but Amazon is where people have been currently getting it, and it's been going out very well. So I've been very fortunate that the book has done well in that outlet.
Excellent. So now I have to ask you another question. What would you consider your most proud accomplishment thus far throughout your career?
That is an excellent question.
That's a loaded question because I'm sure you have many, but now I'm asking you to pick one out specifically.
It's funny because I know I mentioned about being self-motivated. I don't feel that I've accomplished that thing that is the ultimate. I feel like I've done well. I've accomplished some things. We've done things from creating an organization that's supporting people, to writing books, to becoming a lawyer, to seeing most of the world. All of those things are amazing and great, but I couldn't put my finger on one thing that stands out above because I enjoy all of it and all of it's important. And it really does personally help me strive and thrive to be better because I want to do more and accomplish more for my organization and for my own personal life. So I couldn't put my finger on one thing, but one thing that always makes me feel very special, MJ, is when a family member sends a letter in or stop by and says that what we do has made a difference. When a staff person says that we've worked here and I've been able to buy my first house because, you know, I've been able to maintain a job and grow in the job, and especially when I can see people with disabilities transition from 24-hour support to living on their own and living independently within the community with other people. So those things always make me feel absolutely worth getting up every morning. But the one thing that stands out, I'll have to come back on the show and tell you about it.
That's okay. You know, and that's a great answer, because you're always thriving. You're always trying to do something that's even bigger and greater than your accomplishments. So I think that's a great answer. And Charles, I have the utmost respect for you. But now I am going to ask you another question. So, as a leader and advocate that has fought for the underserved community for over 20 years, what do you want your legacy to be?
Whoa, MJ, you're getting, whoa, my gosh, I wasn't expecting that one either.
I know,
I have to sit up in my chair. I just got nervous. I think that what I want my legacy to be is so many things, but at the end of my life, I want to know. It would be great if other people acknowledged it, and that's really, you know, significant in the way that it is. But I want to know that I've lived a life where I've made a difference.
Right.
I really want to know that at the end of my life, I didn't just acquire amazing things and do great things, but because I lived, somebody's life is a little bit better.
If
I could die doing and knowing that internally, I'll be completely satisfied.
Love it. So now I'm not going to hit you with a...
You can hit me hard. Come on. You already started. Keep it coming.
Come on, bring it. No, we have to talk about the upcoming golf event. And congratulations. I know that the J. Stryker Asset Management firm has chosen the Thrive Network to be one of the recipients to their charity celebrity golf event. And I know that speaks volumes, again, on who you are, you as a leader, the work that you're doing, and the people that you serve. So how do you feel about that? I know it's coming up on Monday, September 28th, and I know there is a big lineup of celebrities and industry leaders, and we were thrilled when we heard that the Thrive Network was one of the two recipients, and especially knowing that there are so many foundations out there and just hearing that they love the work and that you're such an inspiring individual. So how do you feel about that?
I feel overwhelmed. I feel amazing. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, mm-hmm. as a leader, for me, leadership is about followership. It's always about other people and how that connection. And when I got the news about the being a recipient, I'm hugely appreciative to Stryker and Trent Tucker and all of the other people that will be at the event, and the people that we serve and the people that we employ and who we represent. It means so much to us as we look at what the future has to be for the not-for-profit community. And when we look at it particularly for the disabled community and the disabled organization, it becomes very significant and relevant when people support your mission, because there are things that the being a recipient from Stryker and Tucker will do for people that might not ever make the paper, that might not ever get the recognition it's supposed to do. But they know, and I know, and all of the people that do come out to the event, and if you haven't gotten a ticket, please try to get one and get there, because I think what will happen is when we're able to run a Sunday respite program that literally is funded all by philanthropic dollars, it allows us to take more people to community outings. It allows us to take families and individuals to Broadway shows and horseback riding, things that might mean nothing to us, but they've never done it, never seen it, never been to Manhattan, never been around Times Square. We're able to do those things because of these type of exciting efforts and philanthropic things that people do. So I am overwhelmed with excitement and appreciation from Stryker and Trent Tucker, and look forward to being at the Oats Country Club in Westchester on the 28th of September.
You know, I have to tell you that Trent and I over the weekend were discussing the event, and he was so excited. He goes, you know, now he's referring to you as his buddy, by the way. He goes, you know, me and my buddy Charles, you know what I think we're going to do one weekend? I'm going to come in, and we're going to take some of the people that are in programs, and we're going to take them to a Knicks game. And I thought, hey, that was really cool that he said that. I'm like, you know what? I think you and your buddy.
I'm sitting here with my mouth open, MJ, because you don't understand what that would mean to the people that we serve. Like,
right,
you know,
and,
they
and
get the
know,
opportunity.
Right.
And I expect nothing less from Trent. Nothing
no,
else.
Of course.
So and, typical Trent, and he's just fantastic, and I know he's so eager to help.
And you know, when Trent is like you, Charles, and he's doing a lot of the same great work in Minneapolis, and he knows and he does these things, so he knows that the people that are in the programs don't have the opportunity to do these things, and he's excited to, like, you know, to do this with you and make it happen for them. So you guys are you're in great hands. He's in great hands. So
the other thing, MJ, about philanthropic things, and the Thrive Network is going to have other events later this year and other things that are coming up in 2016 for the 20th celebration, is that, you know, philanthropic dollars don't always require you have to have deep pockets. There's so many ways, and the collective of things.
Back.
You know, I am extremely appreciative of the celebrity golf outing and what that means, but there are other things and other opportunities that people can support organizations and support the Thrive Network, and I look forward to being able to give people those opportunities to connect with us in their own way as we look to the future.
Right. And, you know, just like with the caller, Michelle, who called in a short time ago, even her just asking how can she get involved, some people may not have the means to write a check. And I always say it's just giving of your time is just as meaningful than writing a check. So just that support also helps out the organizations. So
well, one thing that we definitely do within our programs is a lot of kind of, you know, as we look to hear the art exhibit coming up, you know, there's a lot of arts and craft things that we need. So we wind up connecting with someone about a year ago, and at least twice that year, they were able to donate to us a bunch of pens and papers and markers and crayons and canvas. So that was just a pure donation that did not require a dollar, but they had it within their means to share, and those things are equally as important philanthropically as someone saying, I have a check for $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to ask you one more question because we know how busy you are. And can you tell us on a personal note, we know you love to travel. Can you share some of your favorite places that you've traveled to and any special meanings behind any of it, or they were just special memories that you're going to thank away? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I love talking about travel. It is one of my separate passions that I purely enjoy. I think that if you have the opportunity, and travel doesn't necessarily mean you have to get on a plane. It could mean as simple as driving or taking a train over to the Jersey Shore and literally spending 10 hours on the beach alone by yourself. And what travel has done for me is really rejuvenate and refocus me and allow me to relax and get prepared for the next things in life. So some of the places that are very special to me, obviously, my family is from Barbados, so every time I'm home in Barbados, you know, the opportunity to be around my culture in that way is always special. I enjoyed going to Israel and that whole experience from a Christian perspective, also understanding both Jewish faith and Muslim faith and how they coexist or don't coexist in so many ways was really special. South Africa was just out of this world and all of the history and all of the changes that they've gone through. You know, there's just so many places, MJ, when I think about, you know, Egypt and what the significance of being a kid growing up in Brooklyn and seeing the pyramids on television. And, like, maybe one day I'll get a chance to go there, and I've had the opportunity. Right. So, the travel is just something that I could really spend Cuba when I think about having gone to Cuba a few years ago and what has happened now, I'm so excited because now I know that other people will get the opportunity to go walk the streets of Havana and see all of the history that's there. So it's definitely something I totally enjoy.
Oh, that's great. Charles, I can't thank you enough.
Thank you very much
today.
For having me.
As always, it's a pleasure, and we look forward to having you on the show very soon. And always come on, you know, let us know and talk about all your great events so we could share it with the world.
All right. Well, thank you, MJ, and thank you, Gina, and all the listeners. I hope that you've been inspired as I've been encouraged by sharing.
Thank you for coming on, Charles. And for all of you out there that would like to learn a little bit more about Charles, you can visit his website at www.everybodypaddles.com. And to get some more information about our network, you can go to www.thrivenetwork.org. And if everyone goes onto our homepage, I have the event information listed as well as all of the social media handles for the Thrive Network. So, and if anyone has any questions, you guys can message us or email us.
And again, I want to thank all of you so much for tuning in today. Be sure to check out Live with MJ Facebook and Twitter accounts to stay updated on our shows. Have a great week, everybody. And Charles, thank you again. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.